Hello.
Hello.
I thought you said you're Redzy.
What I'm is a that? Redzy.
Redzy.
I don't know. So for some reason, my sound sounds weird. Hang on, I gotta check. I gotta fix my sound machine.
Mic check. you have a sound machine?
Yeah, my headset. Check my computer. Where is it?
You sound good to me. Are you hearing something funky or what?
Yeah, I thought I heard feedback, but I guess it's okay. Looks like it's okay. Now, for some reason, when I type on Skype, it comes out wrong. I think it's Skype.
Yeah, I blame Skype. Is that how you type at work, too, like emails?
Yeah, man. Spell check is corrected. I spell worse now than I ever did in my entire life. Thanks to spell check.
Let it fix it for you.
That's right. Skype doesn't have spell check. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it does in the paid version.
Redzy.
I just pretend that's like the cool way of saying it.
Redzy.
So this is Geek Brunch, and Micah is somewhere.
Well, Micah's grandfather died, so I think he's going to take today off, I think.
Condolences to Micah's family.
Yeah. That's a bummer. This is Geek Brunch 188. Are you Redzy?
So how is life?
That's good. Sounds like Doomsday Point One out there.
I read Doomsday Point One.
So did I. But did you just read number one?
Yeah, just number one. I read number one, and I don't really have any desire to read number two.
Shakes my head. Well, if you didn't like it, then that's good. You didn't like it?
The dialogue was so blatant and on the nose, and I don't know, it was just bad.
I liked it. It was a quick series. I already read all four of them.
Oh, it's all out already? Man, I'm just getting around to it. So we're talking about, this is Doomsday 1.0 from IDW, from the mighty John Byrne.
His art was pretty sharp.
Yeah, I've always loved his art. So yeah. I have no complaints with his art, for sure.
I liked it. It happened really fast, and it's not like you get into any kind of build-up when the characters, like Walking Dead. It's almost like they're like, we're only going to sell 5,000 copies, so we got to make the story really fast.
Yeah. He says, I have this great story. It's going to take 6 years to tell the whole story. They say, well, we'll give you 4 issues.
Yeah. Well, they're having a second volume because at the end of the fourth one, it said Doomsday Point 2.
Ah.
So they'll have a second volume, but this volume pretty much wrapped up the storyline.
This is a story about the end of the world via some kind of solar flare that came loose and landed on the earth or something.
Yeah, caught the whole damn thing on fire.
That's kind of unclear on that. Well, it's bigger than the earth, right? It's like a solar flare that was four times the size of the earth or something.
Yeah.
I guess it didn't land, it just came close to the earth, close enough to ignite it.
I can't remember. In issue one, was it all on the satellite?
No, they flashed to some stuff going on the Earth, like the president gave an announcement, and the Pope ran away.
They had a scene in the submarine, right?
Yeah, the submarine dove.
And then the did they have the prison in there?
Yeah. And the two dudes broke into a prison and started shooting the guards.
Okay, so he did set the stage because the second issue is the prison, the third issue is the submarine, and the fourth issue is the Pope.
Okay. I figured he would follow up on all of those threads.
I don't remember ever seeing the president again.
She might have died.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I don't know. I guess my main complaint about the first issue is just the dialogue. I thought was everyone, like you said, I think because it was so compressed, people were basically just giving you information. Like, it didn't seem like they were talking to one another. They were just, like, spouting out facts about what was going on.
Yeah.
So, there's a giant flare coming. Oh, what does that mean? Oh, well, this flare is blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's very by the book and not really... And even the part with, like, the husband and stuff, it just didn't feel real. It felt like he was describing what was happening versus us feeling the moment.
I guess I didn't feel that way. I did feel that it was rushed, like incredibly rushed. Because in four issues, you get the course of a whole year. The first issue is kind of set up. It lets you know who the astronauts are on the space station. And it sets up the post-apocalyptic event because of the solar flare and barely gives you insight to some of the characters. Like, there's two females. One is a Russian female with blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
The other one's Asian, and she's like the real science-y one, I guess. And then it's got an older guy. He's like the older astronaut. It has a French guy. It's got like a handsome blonde guy, I guess the stud of the group. And there's an African American, and I think there's one other character. But throughout the whole series, you don't get a lot of them. Like, you don't really get inside.
And a lot of characterization.
Yeah, it's mostly about the scenario around them. And the first scenario, since you're not going to read it, I'll just tell you. The first scenario is, you know, they escape in the shuttle, and one of the Russian husband has to sacrifice his life. He knows that the woman's having a child, and he's sacrificing his life so his wife and the rest of the crew could get away, because somebody has to shut, I guess, the door or whatever.
Yeah.
And they escape, and
so
then
there's one part in that scene that was I didn't like. Like, so the wife is like crying because her husband is gonna die, and there's another, one of the guys on the ship is like, "Will you shut up? Why? Someone shut her up." It's like her husband just died. It's like, come on. I guess he's
the crotchety old.
Yeah, the crotchety old guy.
Yeah, he always has some stupid stuff to say. Get off of my lawn. he's a crotchety guy. But they circle the Earth like for several revolutions, and they're trying to find a place where they can land, and there's like ash everywhere. A lot of things are destroyed. For some reason, that there's a place, a part of Texas that survives, so they head that way, and I think that's where the prison is. And the way they get there is they're traveling in a vehicle. And then some motorcycle guys like stop them and say, "Yeah, we'll take you to civilization where we got a little group together, and it's really those prisoners," and all hell breaks loose there. I think they lose two of their crew in the prison, the French guy and one other dude. And the prisoners had like mutilated the warden, so like he has no appendages, he's just a stump. And the warden sacrifices his life because they're collecting ammunition or bomb materials, because the prisoners see this as a way to like gain power over whatever's left of society. Yeah. And they're amassing weapons, and they all end up they're collecting these bombs and shit like that. Well, they put the stump guy in there and blow the whole prison up and escape. But they lost a couple of their lives. And it got pretty intense there because there were two females and there were no females in that prison. And, you know, those guys, they tried to rape the Asian girl, where the blonde scientist stayed behind. Like, they told her to stay behind with a gun inside the car and nobody saw her. So she actually kind of saved the whole crew. And then months pass, and then they're, let's see, where do they go next? Oh, they find the submarine. I don't know why they didn't stay with the submarine guys, because they seem like they had their act together. But they decide to follow their own path.
Huh? Where are they getting food from?
I guess they're finding pieces of food. They never get into that.
Yeah. Is there enough stuff? Well, I guess if parts of Texas are still there, then I assume that there's, I don't know, farms and stuff.
Yeah, there's people growing stuff, because this is like a year after it. There's still food, prison food, and stuff to eat. And it looks like there's pockets of society that are still alive. Like, they go to the New York, because there's a naval base there with the submarine. They should have stayed with the submarine dudes, because they seem to have their act together, but they decided to go their own way. And the submarine guys took them to New York, and there were like infestations of rats and stuff, like, and mutated people, all kinds of weird stuff, cockroaches. Society was just torn asunder, and they decide to go away from that, and then they end up in this nice area, kind of like that area in Crossed, Wish You Were Here. You know how they had an environment, they had food, they had what they needed to survive? Great. Yeah, they found like a fort. It really looked like a Western fort. And they kind of had crops growing there, and that they met up with the Pope, who refound his faith. And then it goes into a weird backstory of them going to, and there's like this savages that live with this other guy, and they want to kill half of them, and it tells them like in the past story. Like, I didn't like that.
That's weird.
Like, it was all dialogue from the Asian woman telling everybody what had happened. Like, and that happened for like half the issue, was past storytelling.
But after the end of the world?
No, she was telling them about
before they
would go on these what do you call them, sorties or whatever you call them, where they'd go try to find stuff.
Mm.
And they found this other crazy fucker with these that looked like Native Indians or something. I didn't know if they were in Africa or what, because I didn't really pay attention if it said where they physically were. But she was telling that story, and they like, it was weird because they had like crucified some guy upside down and like bled him out. It was pretty brutal. But they all ended up escaping and going back to the hut. They lost another member of their troop, or so we thought. But then he comes back. And then they're all on horseback. But she has her baby. She decides to stay with the Pope, the blonde lady. And then the rest of the crew, which is only like four people left, they decide to go on horseback, leave that place. For whatever reason.
Yeah, what are they?
Because they got radio transmissions from some general, and they were heading out that way.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering why they don't just settle down somewhere.
And that's where I think the president is. Do you know what I mean? I think they're heading in that direction. But I liked it. I didn't not like it like you did, but I read it all at once too, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought conceptually it was okay, and the art was good. The art was great, but yeah, just the dialogue. I think part of it also had to do with how much he tried to compress into. It didn't have time to give any characterization or get to know the characters or anything. It was kind of just in your face in the first issue.
And it's all plot. There's, you know, you still don't know the characters after four issues. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't give it enough time to.
I think you get to know more about like the prisoner people, the Pope, and the characters that are not the non astronauts.
Yeah, the non main characters.
Yeah. So Micah texted me and he said, "Yeah, it's a bummer. It's his grandmother's birthday, so he's celebrating it with the grandmother, but she lost her husband, so okay. Kind of sucks."
Yeah, bittersweet day.
Yeah, I figured he wasn't gonna call in, but he had texted me because I can receive text. I have some good technology.
The modern technology.
Yeah,
I can receive texts.
You just don't text back.
I did figure out how. I know how to do it now, though.
Oh, yeah. You could at least, if I ever text you, you could at least learn to type Y or N. So I'll just be like, I'll ask the question straightforward. And you could just say, yeah.
Yes, no. So Doomsday, there was like this is like the second Doomsday series from him, right? Do you know anything about the first one?
I know it was from Charlton.
Yeah, I know. I got an issue of it like at a con within the last year. I noticed it because it was after this one had been solicited, and I was like, "Oh, Doomsday." It might have been Doomsday 1.0, or I don't know what it was. I don't know what the relationship is between the two, though.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a retelling. There's a Doomsday Plus One from...
Plus One.
Yeah, that ran for a while. It ran for, let's see, had 12 issues. But a lot of them were reprints. That's what's weird. You never see a book like reprint on itself so fast. So it had like issues 1 through 6, and then issues 7 through 12 were reprints. That's bizarre.
Yeah, that is weird.
It's like they took a 2-year break and then just reprinted everything.
And they're all reprints? Like,
yeah, 6 through 12 are. Actually, the covers, though, like, I'm looking at the covers. They look like way better than...
The cover to 7 is the same cover as the cover to 1.
Yeah.
It's just different colors.
They're all the same. That's so bizarre. Yeah, that's weird. And then there was a Charlton... There was a Dooms... No, that's... I thought I saw another book. Let's see if I can find it.
Yeah, so here the description of the number one from the Charlton is, after General Rykos starts a nuclear war, three NASA astronauts return to devastated Earth and find a caveman frozen in the ice. So it sounds similar but different. So he changed it from nuclear war to solar flare, but it's still astronauts coming back to Earth.
Yeah. I don't know if I liked it that much to try to seek out the older books, but if I run across them, I'll look at them for sure.
Be interesting to see what was different. Yeah, then they reprinted it again.
Yeah, it's another company called Avalon, and it's got Charlton logo on it. It's weird. Wow. It must have been such a hit, like demand.
Yeah, modern. So it was reprinted several times. That's so strange.
Yeah, the original series, that you at least have to pay double digits to get them. So, and then Modern Comics reprinted all of the Charlton books for the most part. That's how I actually learned about these characters, because they used to sell Modern Comics, which were all reprints, at Kmart, believe it or not. And that's where I had gotten, like, and they used to sell them for cheap, like in bags of five.
What were the books?
Well, you could get, like, Blue Beetle and Captain Atom and, like, Monster Hunters and all their monster books and stuff like that. Doomsday was probably one of them.
I don't think I ever picked up any. I know I didn't pick up any back in the day. The thing I remember getting at, like, Toys R Us and Kmart's are the DC and Marvel. They used to do the packs of, like, three or four comics or whatever.
Right.
For cheap. I used to get those. If occasionally find some good stuff back then.
Yeah.
Like, it was stuff that... It must have been their overprints. They must have just packaged them up and gave them to... Sold them at retail stores.
Right. It's weird, though. Like, if you're shopping for the books, because issue 7 is the same as issue 1, if you didn't know better...
Yeah, you'd just be getting...
You'd just be getting, like... If somebody said, full run of Doomsday 1 through 12, and you buy it, you're like, wow, I got 6 books I've already read. Son of a bitch.
Or if you were getting them, you'd be like, you'd get the whole series, then by the time you start reading it, you'd get to...
Well, I would read, like, 1 through 6 and then say, well, that looked familiar. Then I'd get to 7 to 12 2 years later.
Like, didn't I read these?
Yeah. What else did you get, read?
I read some books that, like, Doomsday, that came out a while ago, because I had, like, a stack of comics that I couldn't find for a while. And it was books that I knew I had somewhere, but I just couldn't find them. And I finally found them, so I read some of those.
Where were they?
In my closet.
Oh.
Under some stuff. It's my organized life. Comics everywhere.
I hate when that happens. Imagine how it is for me when you have boxes and boxes of unsorted red comics that are unread.
You must keep your new stuff separate.
Well, the bad thing is that I'll miss issues sometimes, and I don't know about it until I get to reading it. You know what I mean? Like, I was reading, I said, I'm going to get caught up on Justice League Dark because I wanted to keep up with the Trinity War. So I was, like, reading it, and I was like, all right, I'm on the Trinity War issue, which is the next issue I needed to read because it was, like, part 3. And then I found out I didn't order it. And then I said, well, okay, it could be in bags, right? Like, I could be searching for it and try to find it like you did, like under a pile or something. But then the first thing I did was go to DCBS and, you know, search that way. And I was like, shit, I never ordered the son of a bitch.
How do you miss a DC title?
Oh, I don't do the pull list. Because ever since I did 11 copies of The Authority for 3 months straight.
You don't trust the automation.
I don't trust the pull list because if you fuck up, you fuck up 11, you know, for
multiple months.
Yeah.
You don't know until 3 months later.
That's right. I've already pre-ordered 11. You're like, fuck, why did I get 11 copies of this book?
So I read Suicide Risk number 1 from Boom Studios, which I'm sure you read that.
No, I have it. I haven't read it.
Okay. So this is by Mike Carey. And I assume it's a creator-owned probably.
Yeah, probably like Damon and all their other stuff, Two Guns.
Yeah. So this is about, I have to remember, it's been, I read it a couple weeks ago. If I remember correctly, it's a world where people have superpowers that they got by taking a drug, which we've seen that before.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's like a drug that brings out something that's already in you, maybe. I'm not sure the exact. I don't think in this issue they explain it completely yet. But there's another side effect. It seems that when you take this drug, even though you may start out wanting to do good, you turn evil. So it's basically a world that's been taken over almost by these supervillains. And people are trying to fight back against them. The main story follows this young cop who, I don't remember his exact story, so I don't remember his backstory, but he decides that he's going to try and figure out how to, he's real smart and he's trying to figure out how to handle this situation and everything that's going on. But I really enjoyed it. It was really well done and well written, so it was a good read.
I still have that to read.
I liked it. I think Boom's putting out some good stuff now. I've liked a lot of the stuff they've done recently.
Yeah, I've enjoyed what I've read. I still got to read Three Guns, but I liked the Freelancers, and I liked the one we just reviewed.
The Deathmatch.
Deathmatch a lot.
That was good. Hypernaturals I like.
That's my favorite by far is the Deathmatch. I just like the characters and the situation. It reminds me of like 90s, some good 90s books.
Hello.
That was weird. What did you do?
What do you mean, what did I do?
Well, I was calling and it wouldn't even ring. Like, it wouldn't.
That's weird.
It usually goes doot, 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 and then it rings. And it would just die. It would die immediately.
Yeah, it wouldn't let you call. Weird. I don't know. I just restarted it, so. It seemed like it was fine from my end. I mean, I was still online and everything, so.
That was weird.
I wasn't seeing any. I didn't see that you had called, so.
I wonder if my internet's going to pot. It did that to us last night, too. So we were talking about Suicide Risk and Boom Studios.
Yeah, Boom. Boom. What did I do with it? Skype ate my comic. Oh, there it is. Yeah, so I liked it. I noticed the trade was solicited this month, so I'll probably pick that up. But I like that. I like that Six-Gun Gorilla. I like Hypernaturals, Deathmatch. I like that Polarity. I'm liking a lot of stuff they're doing.
I like Planet of the Apes. That's my favorite, actually. I haven't read the new Cataclysm one, but I've read the other one by Daryl Gregory, and that was sweet.
Yeah.
I didn't get Polarity. I didn't think you liked that one.
Yeah, I like that one.
Okay. I finished reading Godzilla, the IDW ongoing. At least it was 13 issues. This was by Swierczynski and Gain, or Simon Gain. And it started off like fucking awesome. And then it kind of like went off the rails, I think, around issue 7. And I didn't so much care about it anymore. But I continued to read it.
That's the one you really liked that one when it started, didn't you?
I liked it when I started because it was awesome because this band of monster killers was freaking awesome. It was kind of like Pacific Rim. Except these guys were like, it was just a small band of people that were hired to go take out the monsters. Mm-hmm. And that was like awesome story, you know, the guys that they, but then it just like got really chaotic. And then they had these alien monsters that arrived on Earth, kind of like Pacific Rim, I guess, through some some portal or something, and then all the monsters that we were originally fighting, like Rodan, Godzilla, you know, all the monsters that were in, you know, Japanese movies, they became the allies, and then the monster aliens were the enemies. And then it was like Godzilla versus those monsters. And then the human people were just kind of pushed to the side, but they were always going after, they were always trying to help, but they really just got in the way. But it started off a lot better. I hope the new series is better than this one.
So turn into Godzilla versus the aliens?
Yeah. I like when it's got the human condition.
Yeah. Yeah, you need the human condition.
Yeah, like Doomsday was missing the human condition, I think. But I guess if you have only four issues, it was pretty effective telling the story. It just didn't have time to build character.
Yeah. But I mean, if he's going to have I don't know if 2.0 is going to be a continuation or not. Or 0.2.
I think it is. I think they're going to find the president. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, if it's essentially an ongoing, then he did have time. He just chose not to go that route.
Yeah. And then I read Colonized from IDW. This is the one with Daryl's head.
Daryl's head, yeah.
And it made another appearance in this where a zombie picks up Daryl's head and sniffs it and then throws it back down because it's stinky.
Yeah, probably stinky.
Yeah. But this is by Chris Ryle and Drew Moss. And I really enjoyed this series, but I also felt it was rushed. Mm. Like, I thought the first two issues were, like, phenomenal. And then it's almost like they went into high gear to finish the story. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
It was like, it's like something that could be like a Walking Dead premise or something to that effect. And then it's like, no, we need to wrap it up. So let's wrap it up and tie it up. And it really felt rushed. I thought it was still really good. And you still got a complete story. It just felt like
you
had all this cool build up, you know, with these aliens, the zombies, and this Waco, Texas faction, and and they're all colliding at the same time, and they did such a good job like setting it up and then putting it all together, and then it just was like bam, bang, bang, you know, like, and then it was over.
Yeah. So do you think it should have been like 6 issues?
I think it should have been like 12, but nobody probably would have bought it but me. Yeah. But it was really good. You read the first one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked the first one a lot. Yeah, it was good. The art was awesome.
Yeah, Drew Moss. Not only is he a fucking awesome dude to talk to, but he can really draw. And he draws Daryl's head pretty damn good.
Very lifelike.
Yeah.
Captures the essence of Daryl.
Yeah, I would have had like spaghetti dripping out of his mouth. But, you know, like when he was killed, he was eating spaghetti. But I finished that, and then since we're on the IDW route, I finished. I got caught up on Judge Dredd. Their series. And that one also started off fucking really awesome, and then it got really stagnant, like where a lot wasn't being said. And then it got badass again, like in the last two issues. Once I got through 3 issues, and then I read the last two when he went to Cursed Earth, the story started to pick up again. Because originally the storyline that's been going on is the robots were starting to gain sentience. What is the word? Sentience?
Sentience.
And they started to be their own bosses. And it was like Maximum Overdrive. They started to turn on whoever their owners were. And Judge Dredd was caught in it. And
that's an ongoing?
Yeah, it's an ongoing. Okay. And that whole storyline lasted a long time. It started off really, really strong, and then it like meandered in the middle. And then he met up with a kid, and he was like a kid that was really popular. He would do like video, like YouTube things, but they were like detective series and stuff like that. And he had this like robot that would help him tell the stories, and he'd go to all these danger zones and get in danger, and people would watch these things and pay lots of money. Well, Judge Dredd had to go in there and rescue him, and then ended up in Cursed Earth. And then you get into the weird stuff, like where they have an amusement park of rides that, like, every ride will lead you to your death. All these mutated beings, they like have holes in the roller coasters and all these crazy, like, you know, like where you throw your kids in the ballroom. Mm-hmm. And they have like monsters in there to eat you alive. And it's just insane shit like that I like about Judge Dredd. So it really picked up. I was happy that the storyline kind of changed.
That's Straczynski again, right?
Yeah.
I didn't pick up Judge Dredd, but I've never really read Judge Dredd, so.
You don't have to have.
I know.
Did you see the movie?
No.
That was really good.
I need to see that one. I've been meaning to see it for 6 years now. Whenever it came out. 12 years, however long ago.
And I got caught up on Superior Spider-Man. That's really good. Well, I'm one issue away. I was reading that before we started. That's the Doc Ock Spider-Man. It's really cool because it's like such a different take on the character. There's like four people that know something's not right. And it's that one scientist girl, Kaylee, or I can't remember her name, that used to do forensics work. And then the Mary Jane knows something's not right. And I think that's pretty much it. Everybody else is like, oh, the Avengers. They took away his Avengers card for the most part. But it's weird seeing Doc Ock because he is being the hero. Like, he's doing heroic stuff, and the public's seeing him as a hero. But his motives and stuff are, like, totally different. Like, his motive is to be a better hero because Spider-Man sucked at it. That's what his motive is. His hatred for people.
Show him up.
Yeah. But the cool part of it is there are scenes of some kind of redemption. Like Doc Ock is being redeems himself occasionally. Originally, Peter was in his head, and he'd be able to do certain things, like stop him from doing certain things, like kill somebody. He'd be able to, like, just stop him in his subconscious, and then he'd gain control again and not kill that person. But mm-hmm. he pretty much found out what was going on and extracted Peter from his mind. So now it's totally Doc Ock. And it was cool how they did it because they made it look like they were going to bring Pete back, but they didn't. It's kind of nice how they did that.
I teased you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that run.
Yeah, it's highly entertaining. Have you been reading The Batman? Year Zero?
I haven't started that yet.
I think that's really good. I'm really enjoying that.
That was actually one of the ones that was missing in my pile, so the first issue of that, so in my stack of comics that I lost.
Mm-hmm.
So now I can read that and I can start it. Stinks to lose a bunch of comics.
Yeah.
Especially when they're not number ones.
Especially when you know that you bought them.
Especially when you hear someone talk about it and you're like, I know I ordered that.
Yeah.
I know I have it somewhere. I just don't know where.
I finished Cobra, the latest IDW incarnation before they relaunched it.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good. It was a small group of people, but it was really focused, and it wasn't as deep as the Chuckles stuff, but it still was pretty freaking awesome. They had Ronin, Chameleon, Flint, Lady J, and there's this new guy who's like their mainframe firewall, and that's pretty much it. That was a pretty cool story. If you've been enjoying Cobra, just keep reading it because it just builds on itself.
Yeah, I still have to read the Cobra Civil War stuff. But I do have, what's Son of the Snake? Is that the new
one? Yeah.
Is that the run you're talking about?
I think that's the one. That was the one with, they found the Cobra Commanders had a son.
Apparently.
In the new universe. I just wrapped up the old one, so... It's kind of. Sometimes I get confused.
You're mixing
because
them. Yeah.
the Larry Hama took off from the Marvel series,
right?
And his son as well. You know, like he's a ninja in that one, and he was allied with Snake Eyes for a while. And it just gets confusing, but it's good. I like them all. I enjoy it. I read all of the G.I. Joe books and happy with them. I tried Batman 66. That was the Adam West Batman.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't gotten that one yet. I don't know why. I'm surprised it wasn't in my last shipment.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, you know what you're getting.
Maybe I do have it.
They're just artistically reimagining or, you know, showing like the TV show.
TV show. Yeah. Right. You certainly know what you're expecting when you go in.
Yeah.
All they have to do is deliver on that.
and do I need to read the Goofy Batman? No, but I found it fun. Like I when I was a kid growing up, I used to always like it to see like which villain was going to show up next and stuff. Because
mm-hmm.
I really thought the show was really cool with the villains, and this first issue featured Catwoman and the Riddler, and I really enjoyed it. It's goofy with the colors, like, and it's pretty cool.
The bright colors.
Yeah. And I finished Breath of Bones, A Tale of the Golem. That was David Wachter and Steve Niles.
Mm-hmm.
That was really, really good. It's World War II. Action where the Nazis are invading a Jewish town, and this one grandfather shows this little boy how to invoke the golem to protect the town. It was pretty cool.
That's three issues, right?
Yeah, the art was awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I read the first one of that, and I have the second one. I don't know if I have the third one yet.
And last but not least for me, I read Amazing Spider-Man number 124 from 1973. I've been buying a lot of fucking back issues, man. That magazine back issue is fucking evil.
Killing
I swear you. To God, because the writers are really good at like giving you a little synopsis of everything and making you want to read, you know, stuff that you hadn't read before. So this 124, I had read an article maybe many months ago about Man-Wolf, and I started to read Creatures on the Loose, and I read every issue of Creatures on the Loose that I had, and I was like, man, Man-Wolf is fucking cool. So then I started to seek out his first and second appearance, which are a little more expensive because they're in the Amazing Spider-Man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
issue 124, so it's a little earlier.
What was his first appearance in Creatures?
First appearance of Man-Wolf.
Yeah.
So it's J. Jonah Jameson's son, who was an astronaut, just like in Doomsday. And he landed on the moon and found a ruby or a jewel, and it became part of him, and it turned him into a werewolf. And this werewolf doesn't fuck around. At least everything I've read about him, he's not like Werewolf by Night. Werewolf by Night has like thought bubbles and stuff where it almost makes him look like he's super heroic. You know, like he could do certain things. Yeah, he's an animal, but he knows not to kill his sister. You know what I mean? Whereas this man wolf, the first thing he does is go after J. Jonah Jameson, his dad, tries to kill him. And Spider-Man saves him. And this is weird because at this time, Spidey was, like, devastated. This is when he just lost Gwen and Norman Osborn's dead. And he's dealing with that stuff. You okay?
Yeah.
I thought you fell off your chair or something.
There's a lot of man wolves.
Yeah, there's really a no man wolf series, but he shows up in Amazing Spider-Man and Creatures on the Loose and Marvel Premiere, I think, is the next one he shows up in. And then in She-Hulk. So he's got quite a few appearances in Marvel Team-Up, of course. Looks like that. So it's not hard to complete your collection of Man-Wolf. I think I only have like a handful of books still to find. Under 10, definitely. And I'm almost complete on my Werewolf by Nights. And I don't know. I'm struggling now. It's kind of stressful because it's hard to keep caught up and then want to read all this old stuff. Because I am more in the mood now for the old stuff for some reason. I go through phases, like, and they're pretty extreme. And now I want help!
What? Yeah, go ahead.
Help!
What? Yeah, go play Wii. Don't kill yourself. We're playing video games.
They have to get permission?
Yeah. Yes, I demand my kids get permission for everything.
That's where the fatherly instincts take over. That's where you become an adult. It's weird. It's weird seeing you as an adult.
We're seeing enforced rules.
Yeah, you have to be mature. When the mic comes off, he has to become mature.
That's right. Switch to mature mode. No, you may not. TV will rot your brain.
Go read some comics.
Go read a book.
I also got my Howard Chaykin like art book. It's pretty freaking awesome. It's
I saw you post that. What is that? I'm not familiar with that.
Well, I'm loving Howard Chaykin like big time. And I saw this advertised in Dynamite a couple months ago, and I bought it. And it's awesome because it like has all these little 2-page snippets from his peers telling like why they love Howard Chaykin, and they have a lot of Chaykin art in it. And then it's got like, man, he's done a lot of work. Like if I go on a tangent where I try to seek out every Howard Chaykin, I thought I knew Howard Chaykin. Like I thought I had most of his stuff, and then I fucking go look at that, and I'm like, holy shit, I don't have squat, you know. Probably not even a quarter of what he's done. I have all the major stuff he's done, the well-known stuff, and I just picked up American Flag to read that. I have no idea what that's going to be about.
It's a very popular... That was his first big series, wasn't it? Or yeah. That's the first one I was familiar with.
Yeah.
That's when he became known to me, at least. And then he did Black Kiss.
He became infants. I don't have the first Black Kiss. I need to order that. I have the second, and I really liked it. It's nasty. It's really nasty, but it's very entertaining.
Oh, let's say the book has a checklist. That's nice.
Yeah. He's really good at, like, timepieces, like anything from, like, the 20s to the 40s. Like, I think that's what he's known for. And I know he's gonna work for Dynamite again and do the Spirit, the Shadow.
Shadow.
Which is awesome because I just finished reading the DC Shadow. Like, I never owned it, the 4-issue mini. And it continues where that one left off. So I'm, like, really, I'm really excited for that. But yeah, I've been going on these binges of buying lots of older books, especially Marvel Bronze Age.
Seems like. Let's see, what else did I read? I read some stuff. None of it I was really blown away by.
Well, what did you read?
Like some first issues. I read some first issues, like Collider number one from Vertigo by Simon Oliver, which I like the art a lot, but the story didn't really... It wasn't bad, it just didn't really grab me.
I bought that on his name alone. I loved Exterminators. Like, even Barb loved it. She read Exterminators from beginning to end. So, like, I just pre-ordered it, sight unseen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I think that... I think it would be better if you read, like, if you had the next issue as well. I think, because within this one issue, it's kind of hard to tell where they're going to go, so I think that...
I actually read my comics a lot like trades.
Yeah, you just pile them up.
Just pile them up, yeah.
And cruise through them. Because this first issue, it's about... Like this agency, and I think it's a government agency who fixes like irregularities in the timeline. And the main character is this one kid who works for them. And then something happens at the end of it. I don't remember exactly the details of it, but it wasn't bad. It was just, I think for a single issue, I was missing something that probably if I read the second issue, I would have gotten, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the art was... So the art is by Robbie Rodriguez. I'm not familiar with, but it was really... I liked it a lot. So that's Vertigo. I also read The Invincible Haggard West from Paul Pope, which was the final issue of The Death of Haggard West.
Haggard West,
which I believe, so this is like a one shot.
Yeah.
Well, it's the Invincible Haggard West number 101. But it's a one shot that I believe is an excerpt from an upcoming graphic novel he has from First Second.
Hmm.
But it's like this weird future where there's this guy, Haggard West, who people don't know if he's real or not. And then there are these weird mummy-looking creatures who are trying to capture kids. And then there's Haggard West and his daughter. Very strange, kind of almost like post-apocalyptic. And the Haggard West character, you'll like him because he's this guy with like a jetpack. And he flies around shooting people. And wears like a aviator helmet and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like a rocketeer type guy in this weird futuristic dystopian town.
I haven't read a lot of Paul Pope.
Yeah, I'm not that literate with when it comes to Paul Pope, but I've read some of his stuff before. I mean, his art is awesome. He's a monster when it comes to.
And see, I don't care comics. For it.
You don't like his art?
I mean, I can see why people like it. Like, I have nothing against it. It just doesn't appeal to me.
It appeals to me.
Like, I think he drew the worst OMAC ever.
Yeah, his OMAC was weird.
But I don't know. But it's subjective. I don't know. But speaking of books to try, that you're a Dash Shaw guy. I tried that 3-story or whatever.
Oh yeah, I read that.
I fucking hated that thing.
Yeah, that wasn't very good.
It didn't work for me at any level. Like the one story that I was almost into was so convoluted, and then I was like, why did he have to like fucking put the colors the way he is? Like, to me, that's like an artistic choice that comes across as very pretentious. Like,
yeah, I didn't get that at all. It's a black and white comic, and then it looks like he just kind of painted. Well, it's like paintings in the background. Or, I don't know. It's weird. It looks like he's just poured paint on the page.
It's almost like you have art and you just throw paint on it. And it's like, it's hard to see the words sometimes because the paint is like, it's almost like you had the art in the background and you just threw like this foreground of paint on the top of it. And man, if that's any representation of Dash Shaw, like, I don't. It won't work for me.
I haven't seen that coloring scheme used on any of his other stuff.
Is he that far out? Like, is he like?
No, this was weird. This was weird, Dash Shaw, even for Dash Shaw. I mean, I haven't read all of his stuff before, but some of the stuff I've read, like The Bottomless Belly Button, was a real down to earth story. There's nothing weird about it, really.
So you're saying don't judge Dash Shaw by this little.
No, this was not. I didn't even. So, like you said, we probably like the same story, which was the one where the guys have to go back to school.
Yeah, it was bizarre, but because of what he did with his artistic license or whatever, it made me not like the story.
Yeah. Well, some of the it's very distracting because some of it's hard to read because there's just paint all over the page.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see the black and white art and you can see the words, but
I think it would have been more effective for me if
it was just black and white.
It was just black and white and it was the story, right? And it didn't have any color. I didn't know what he was trying to, like, I'm sure that at some level he's trying to tell us something with the colors, but as a reader that doesn't know Dash Shaw, you know, and as a reader that this is my first work that I've ever seen of his, it didn't come across very well. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know him.
Right.
I don't know him.
You don't know what he was going for. So
try to see what he's going for. Maybe if I knew the guy, like if I went and had beers with him, I'll say, oh, that's fucking awesome. I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to say that we're paint. No, I don't know.
Trying to say that it depends how you look at the world. You can see it through different colors. It's,
yeah,
depending upon the circumstance, it changes the color of the.
And sometimes the color is so distracting you can't read or hear anybody that's around you.
That's right. Sometimes it looks like there's paint over everything and you can't tell what the fuck's going on.
I know he was trying for some like emotion or trying to get something out. Like,
I'm sure it's very artistic, whatever it was.
I just heard you say check this out on previews call, and I was like, okay, that's a good opportunity because it was like only $2.99 or whatever it was.
I know it was a good opportunity. I don't know why.
It was a good opportunity for me to try something without investing in a whole story. Do you know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, well, I could see his art. Well, I at least know what his artwork is, but I could see his storytelling style. And man, the next two stories, I don't even remember. They were so like out there.
There's one that, like, the middle story was just like this girl taking off her clothes for Girls Gone Wild or something.
Oh yeah,
I didn't really understand it, but it was only a couple pages.
And there was like a school bus one, or what was that?
I don't remember the last story. I don't think I understood it. It was like a prison for kids, and they all escaped or something. I didn't understand it at all.
Yeah, it's not a good way to, I think, to introduce yourself to people that don't know you.
Yeah, I didn't really get it. I admit it. I have no defense. But I liked the first story, though. The first story was I think the concept was there's some guys, or there's a class where they didn't, in high school, their senior year, they didn't get enough credits for the year because the teacher didn't know how many credits they were supposed to get. So they had to go back and get like a couple, get like, I don't know, 40 hours of credit or whatever. They had to go back to school, and they're like in their 40s. So they had to go back to high school.
Yeah.
To get credits so they could get their diploma. Which is a stupid concept, but it was funny. And there's paint.
Yeah, it was bizarre as shit, but I at least could follow it, and it had some kind of weird thing that would interest me, but it was just too distracting, so I can't even recommend it. Yep. What else you got?
I read The Dream Merchant number one.
Oh, I read that.
By Nathan Edmondson and Konstantin Novosadov.
A lot of pages in that book, huh?
It was very thick for 350.
Yeah.
It's probably 40 pages. And it's about this guy who's having this reoccurring dream, and he gets to a point where he's having trouble telling dreams from reality, and he wonders if reality is the dream and the dream is reality. So for some reason they decide to lock him up. I'm not sure why exactly. And put him in a mental institution, which seemed kind of extreme for, because he didn't really do anything, right?
No.
Do you remember? He just like all they just all of a sudden he was in an institution. I guess because he couldn't tell what was real and what was real and what wasn't real.
What wasn't real, yeah.
Okay.
But I liked that first issue. I liked it well enough, but the second issue just it went in a direction that I didn't care for.
Yeah.
And I still have three, so I'll have to check the next issue out.
I thought the first issue was okay. I liked the art in it.
Very unusual art style, I thought.
Yeah, it's very, I'm not sure how to describe it.
But it worked well for what they were trying to do. Like, you have a character who can't tell reality from a dream, so I think the art worked well for the type of story.
Yeah. And then, so this book, as this book goes on, there's these guys who are apparently from the dream world or something who are coming after him because apparently he's not supposed to have these dreams because it's supposed to be things that humans have forgotten about. And then there's some weird old dude who's trying to, like, protect him. So it wasn't bad, but I don't know. As a concept, I wasn't really too into it. But you certainly get a lot of pages for your money.
Yeah, I thought the first issue was well done for what you pay for it. The second issue I didn't care for. Maybe I wasn't in the mood for the way it went. It just got a little weird. Sometimes I read too late in the night, and some stories just don't work well when your brain is not
right. Right. Yeah, sharp. You gotta find the right thing for that time of day.
Yeah. Well, I do a lot of reading. I have trouble sleeping. My best sleep is like from 10 p.m. to like a little bit at like 1 p.m. Like I sleep pretty much continuous. And then after that, I usually wake up with like a nightmare of work or something. Then I can't go back to sleep. And yeah. I just say, fuck it. I'm going to go read. And then I read like four comics, and I usually get sleepy with the fourth one. And if you happen to be the fourth one and you have to think, maybe I just don't like it as much.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
I was going to say, so the only issue, other thing that I noted about issue number one was when the dream guys start coming after the kid and he runs away from the hospital and goes on the run with this girl. They seem very nonchalant about the whole thing. Like, especially the girl, she's just like, okay, let's run.
Yeah.
And they're off and running. It's like, well, wouldn't you, like, you don't know what you're running away from. And I can see him because he's dreaming about these things. So all of a sudden he sees him in real life. He's freaking out. But she's not involved, unless she is involved, and we just don't know yet. But it seemed like a weird response from her to just all of a sudden run with this guy.
Yeah. It seemed a lot to me like that movie that came out that nobody liked that much with the that was in the dreams or whatever with the God, I can't think of it. It had the women that had swords and stuff, and it was by Zack Snyder, his first attempt.
Oh, the it was some girl's name.
Yeah, because it was like there was those girls that were like prostitutes in that prison or whatever, and it just got weird. And it reminds me of how this girl just escaped with her. You know, didn't even just escape with the dude. Didn't even know him that much.
Yeah, I didn't know him. Didn't know anything about his. Well, I guess she knew he was having dreams, but she didn't know about people chasing him.
Yeah.
That's about all the comics I have.
I need to read that. I wonder if that's a mini. I hope it is.
I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't have too much other comics to mention. I got caught up on Batwoman. That's the Williams book where he doesn't draw it much anymore. But I think he's starting to get a knack for writing. I mean, I know he uses that Blackman guy to help him co-plot the stories and stuff. But that first arc lasted for an eternity. And it kind of killed the book. But lately what he's doing with Batwoman, hunting down Batman, like to try to find who he is for the DEO, for Mr. Bones, is a really interesting story, I think. And I'm glad I stuck with it. Of course, I stick with most DC books, but...
Yeah, it's very rare for you not to...
Yeah. So that's pretty much all the books that I read. Invincible Universe. That's an awesome book. I don't even read Invincible, and I love this book.
Yeah, you're not caught up.
Yeah, I don't.
You're way behind, like I am.
Well, I only read the first hardcover. I don't read Invincible, and I like Invincible Universe. Like, I feel like every story they tell. Like, I can get into the story, and I get into all these new characters, and okay. I know they exist, like Astonishing Wolfman and, you know, all the Kirkman-created heroes, but I never read Tech Jacket or any of it, and I don't have to have read it. It gives you everything you need to know when it talks about a character. It's really good. I'd recommend it. For me, it's one of those books that I almost want to give a 5 out of 5 all the time because I just enjoy the hell out of it.
Is Kirkman writing that?
No, Phil Hester.
Okay.
And it's got Todd Knock art. So if you like Todd Knock.
Yeah, I do like
him. It's really cool stuff. So
he did that one series, right? The...
Fantasy series, or did he do the supernatural superhero series? I can't remember.
Yeah,
Phenomenots or
yeah, some yeah, Phenapanots.
Yeah, Phenapanots.
Phenapanots. That's it. Yeah, so I can definitely see his style fitting. That was a good choice, bringing him into the Invincible universe. I can see him. He's a similar style. So that was a good choice.
It's a good book. You should check out the trade.
Probably they'll bring out in hardcover.
Probably it won't succeed, but I don't think it sells that well, but it's really good.
Yeah, he kept Invincible going.
Yeah, but Invincible has a pretty steady, it sells pretty steady and it does really well in trades.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't do like Walking Dead phenomenon, but it does pretty good for Image, you know.
If it's steady, that's what you need, so.
Yeah. And let's see. TV. Have we watched any TV?
Oh, I did have more comics, because not comics itself, but I can talk about the Wizard World Chicago Comic Con.
Oh, yeah.
Which was two weekends ago.
I wish I had one. I didn't have to drive very far for it.
Yeah, it is awful nice.
How far is that from your house?
That's about half an hour. So it's even closer than C2E2 for me. It's right by the airport here. The Wizard World is. So this is Wizard World is a strange show, because everyone thought it was going to die when they started C2E2, because they figured that, you know, C2E2 would have a chance of knocking it out, because it had been kind of, I don't know, some people feel it had been faltering, at least in that it's been changing over the last 10 years or so, where it's moved more away from comics and more towards celebrities.
Yeah.
Because by this point, I'd say starting about 6 years ago, Marvel and DC stopped coming. And now they're to the point where the only publishers that show up now are Avatar was there and Big Dog Inc. was there. Maybe another small publisher was there that I don't remember. But that's pretty much it. I don't even think, like...
But they have a lot of comics you could buy, right?
Yeah, I don't even think, like, small indie publishers were there. Yeah, but in terms of a shopping con, it's awesome, because there was tons and tons of dealers there. It was, like, packed with dealers, so... There's certainly no lack of comics to buy. And this year was interesting, because they... So in previous years, it was all like in one room, like a normal con, right? You just had the one big room. In the past, they've had it set up how you'd expect a typical con to be set up, where at the front they had, well, it used to be at the front they had the publishers, and then they had the dealers, and then the artist alley behind that. Then as the... I think my kids are fighting. Hang on, I gotta yell at my kids. All right,
help!
Here, I'm just going to move my mic away.
Okay.
Hey, what's going on out there? Okay. So,
is that how, when an adult, is that how you bring order? What's going on out there? Ask a question?
That's right. If there's silence, then you know you've handled the situation.
What's going on?
This is my parenting tips. Right. So then as the publishers started going away, they started to have more of the celebrities up front. So they had the the autograph section was up at the front, and then the dealers, and then Artist Alley. And then last year they like took the whole, so this is like kind of like going lengthwise through the building. Last year they took the whole con and like turned it sideways and had the autographs like in the middle and then dealers kind of in the front half of it going like widthwise, and then behind that Artist Alley. It was like a really, really bizarre setup.
Yeah.
No one liked it. This year they added a second floor on, not to the building, but this is like in a convention center, so there's multiple rooms, and typically there's like a couple conventions going on at the same time as the Comic-Con. In past years, there's like a quilting convention. I remember one year. Actually, this year there was another one. There's a money convention.
Oh, that's a good place to go.
I know. I was like, maybe I'm gonna try to check out the money convention. I don't know what they have there. So the money convention was in the room that they have had the convention in past years, and they moved the convention to these two other rooms, one on the first floor and one on the second floor. But each of those rooms was about the same size as the old convention hall they had it in. So it was almost twice as big as past years.
Uh-huh.
So on the first floor, they had the I think on the first floor they had the celebrities, and on the second floor, no, they had celebrities and Artist Alley on one floor, and then dealers on the other floor. So I think it was the dealers were upstairs. So yeah, so it was cool because you had the whole big huge room full of dealers, and then you had a room where, God, you had the artist. Let me think when you first walked in if it was Artist Alley. Yeah, you walk in and it's Artist Alley to like facing you, and then to the left, and then all the way to the right was the celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had a big Artist Alley too. It was a huge Artist Alley. The really nice thing, because they had so much floor space, they were actually able to, similar to I think what they did with Heroes this year, they were able to make the aisles bigger.
Yeah.
So, which is so much nicer. So I was there on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Which is typically, if Wizard World on a Saturday sucks and you don't want to go because the aisles are so crowded with people you can't get past, right? You got to wait for the congestion to get by.
Right.
But expanding the aisles is so nice because then you can just walk freely. Even if there's people like lined up talking to the tables or whatever, you still have room to walk by. So,
mm-hmm.
So nice.
I like that. It's cool for shopping, at least from if you're there to buy art and look for books and stuff like that. Because if it's crowded, you just don't want to do it.
Right. If it's crowded, sometimes you can't get to a table, or you just don't want to go down the aisle because there's just too many people. And especially, like, there's a lot of cosplayers, so there's always people stopping to take photographs. And if it's a small aisle, then that blocks the whole aisle, and you can't even get by.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're stuck in a traffic jam. But if it's a big aisle, there's enough room for them to go off into one of the cross aisles or whatever, and there's enough room for them to do photographs and not block the way. So setup wise, it was real good. Dealer wise, there was tons of dealers, so I got a lot of good stuff.
What'd you get?
I knew you were gonna ask me that. Now I don't know. A bunch of stuff.
A bunch of stuff you don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. Here, let me try and find it.
A bunch of junk.
A bunch of junk.
And then I got Doomsday Point or plus one. Doomsday. Number 6, which is really number 1.
Yeah, son of a bitch. I thought it was good. I did talk to, I did pick up Cerusis number 2 from Big Dog Inc.
I have that. I just can't get to read it because I didn't like number 1.
I don't know why you didn't like number 1. I thought it was fun.
I didn't like it at all.
Maybe you were in the wrong mood for it.
No, I didn't like. I just, it's not for me. I didn't understand why it was a kid's book, because I don't know a kid that would want to read that. But and I didn't understand the appeal of the worms and the different snakes and the different types of them and it. But that's me. What works for. Me, it doesn't always work for others. That book just didn't. I had no interest in it, in the sci-fi that it was.
The sci-fi snakes.
Yeah.
Snake people.
Like, I like snakes on a plane. I just didn't.
You know, like snakes on a spaceship.
Yeah, I found it very unusual. Like, he's writing that to be an all ages book,
right?
And I didn't see how it could appeal to all ages. I maybe you did, but
which age do you think it didn't appeal to?
Any like age. I can't see me sitting in, like, if I had a son or a daughter sitting reading them that story and them liking it. Or really? If they were to read it themselves.
I have to have my daughter read it.
Yes. Force her. She'd be crying. Help!
Get away from the video games and read.
read this book. No, I don't like snakes.
So I talked to him.
I actually like his stuff, too. So
I actually like this more than I like some of his stuff.
See, I really like his, like, Penny for Your Soul stuff.
I didn't read that, so.
I dig that, and I like Critter, even though it's... God, I even find that book unusual. But there's something about it that I like about it. It reminds me of if Archie was in a superhero world or something like that.
Yeah, I like Critter, but I always feel like I'm expecting more out of it than I get.
Oh, it is definitely a straightforward superhero, like kind of like Archie, you know? It's more about the relationships and stuff, and it does have the heroics in it and stuff, but it's an unusual book, but I like it. I like Critter. I like Ursa Minor, which is more of a horror
monster book.
Werebears and werewolves and monsters and vampires. I like that. And I love the Joan of Arcs and all that stuff. I don't care for the Wizard of Oz books that he has. I've tried those, and I didn't like them.
Yeah, I didn't like the first one. I did pick up the most recent one, but I haven't read it yet. It's like a scarecrow or something.
But you got to talk to him.
Yep, I talked to him for a little bit.
What'd you talk to him about? Did you tell him I do a Geek Brunch podcast and we read your books and doesn't like snakes?
Mostly just talked about. He was telling me about like where Cerusus came from. I did tell him that he needs to use more pronounceable names.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to pronounce anything. And he laughed, and I think he thought I was stupid. But he said that it's been an idea that he came up with, like, him and his friend came up with it when they were, like, kids, and he's wanted to do it since then.
Hmm.
He's a nice guy. You talked to him before, haven't you?
Yeah, I do like him. He's an angry guy, though. I have to say, he hates, like, if you like Marvel and DC, he just go off on it. Like, he's very anti-mainstream stuff. But he likes what he likes, you know? I mean, he likes all new X-Men, and then he hates what he hates. He used to rant a lot. Now he doesn't so much rant anymore.
He's mellowed out.
On Facebook, he has.
Okay.
I think he's still got the same bitterness towards certain properties. But, I don't think he expresses it anymore. I don't know if it's because he's being more professional, you know, and he has to work with people, but I like his books. I pimped his books at my comic shop, and now they get it. They even have that, what is it called? I kind of want to say Cerusus.
Cerusus.
It sounds like a disease.
Cerusus of the liver. I cerusus of the liver. It means there's little snakes in my liver.
Well, how was 2? Did you try it? Did you read
it? I haven't read it yet. I have to get to that. And I found some trades I got in the cheap bin. So expect reviews of these. Hybrid Bastards hardcover.
I bought that too. Maybe if I could find it, we could review that together. That's got like toasters and shit. Like, yeah, it's like, what if
Zeus
fucked a toaster in a car?
Yeah, he bangs everything and they'll come to life. Last Resort trade, which is the, I think you read that, right? The Palmiotti and Gray.
I like that, yeah. But I tend to like everything that they do.
Yeah, they're good. I got the Veil trade, which is by, I only picked it up because it's by, what's his name? Torres. What's his first name? El Torres. I think he goes by a different first name now.
Does Amigo Comics?
Yeah, the Amigo Comics guy. And CBGB trade, because I never read that series.
I never read those last two. The other two I'm familiar with.
And then I picked up a bunch of single issues, but I don't even know where those are. Just the usual batch of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, there they are. Let me see if there's anything interesting. I got the Grim Ghost 1-4 from Atlas.
The original
the new,
or
no, the new 2011 okay. one. I know it probably sucks, but it was cheap.
It is okay. I think that's Tony Isabella.
Yeah, Tony Isabella. Hey, they gave away Legends of Oz, The Wicked Witch, #1. So I'll read that. That's a big Dog Ink one. That's the one you don't like.
Well, I did the Bill challenge and I read two of them and then I didn't like it. It might have appealed to me if I would have read six of them. I don't know.
Hey, you gave it enough of a. Oh, then just a bunch of junk, nothing major. Some older stuff.
That's why I think that book, he's gonna have such a hard time making it successful. Psoriasis or cirrhosis or because he doesn't tend to write for that demographic.
For all ages.
Yeah. And I think as stores buy stuff, they're not gonna know how to promote that unless they really are good sell. Like, I think your average comic book seller is not like I would know how to promote it because I like the previews is my bathroom book, man. I like every time I go to the bathroom that thing's there and I like find shit like literally
hidden in the corners.
Oh hell yeah. I'll read it again and again and again and again for the entire month. And I like find stuff that like, I didn't even know existed. And it's bad because I order more than,
yeah. Then you got to add stuff to your order.
Well, here's the problem is I buy 200 books or a little over 200 books a month. But I can only read, I mean, just on an app. I have some weeks that I read over 50. So that's where I should be reading at. But on average, I'm reading probably 35 to 45 books a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm intaking, and then that doesn't include all the back issues, the problem I have with, oh, wow, I could get this run of this.
Right. Or you get into something and have to read all the
appearances. Thing that's good about back issues, though, is like if you're going for Bronze Age and Silver Age, is that there's still a market for those. Like if I ever have to get rid of them,
right.
I can get rid of those.
Yeah.
So I'm getting a lot of first appearances of characters and stuff, and that's cool. But I want to read that stuff. I want to go back to the Bronze Age for a while. Well, I went to that Legion phase, and now I'm kind of exiting the Legion phase, and now I'm going to Marvel horror, like Tomb of Dracula, Werewolf by Night, The Living Mummy, Frankenstein's right. Monster, Bronze Age Marvel horror. And then you talk to me next week, I'll probably be into something else. That's just the way I am. It's bizarre.
Yeah, so you have some people who dedicate their lives to those topics, but you dedicate a couple months to.
Well, it's kind of like Barbara when she does her knitting. Like, she will start like three knitting projects, and it takes her forever to finish one because she gets disinterested or she wants to go into something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like the way I am with comics. I get distracted. I want to read what I want to read, and if I vector away and I like, oh, this is cool. I'm like Homer Simpson with donuts. I'm like, oh, donuts over here. And then I go down that path. And then when I'm full, I go down another path. And it's bizarre as all hell, but I'm probably one of the weirdest collectors in comics. But if I would stay focused, it would be better because then I would complete my Daredevil run. I'm only like 25 books from having the entire Daredevil, like everything. Huh. And then Justice League, the same thing. Justice League of America, I'm like missing like 20 titles and that's it. And if I focused, I can make this happen. But
right.
I lose focus. I like a kid in a candy store. It's like, need help. Help!
At least you're sticking to just comics.
Yeah. Well, it used to be bad. It used to be the toys and statues, and I've had to draw back on those just because of space. It's not because I don't want the toys. There's some awesome toys, man. It's hard. Like, some of those new DC ones I want so bad because I've always wanted a Vibe toy. Come on. A Vibe and Katana? I want those toys, but I'm not going to do it. I have some discipline.
Only get the most important ones.
Yeah. And then I spend a lot of time, Bill, like just putting them in the database and bagging and boarding. And I like doing that, like when I'm watching like some program I don't really care about, but it's good background noise.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather read, man. I love reading. Like, I could, because I have so much, I have books for any mood I'm in. Like,
yeah, I do too. I mean, my collection is all over the place, though.
So. Yeah.
I don't have as much of the older stuff as you do.
Mm-hmm.
Just some collections. Not a bunch, though.
So you want to talk some TV?
Sure, TV. There's not much on nowadays.
I finally finished Young Justice and got that off my DVR. I like that cartoon. I think it had a fairly good ending. And the other thing that we're watching now is I started watching Siberia. I'm not totally caught up on that, but that's interesting. I mean, it's an interesting comic concept. It's like a reality-based TV show that's fiction.
Right, that's a fake reality show. Right?
Yeah, it's a fake reality show, but it's based in horror and mystery, and I kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. It's good. I haven't watched that at all.
Yeah, I like Siberia. I'm two episodes behind, but I like it. The reason I get behind is because I usually fall asleep. By the time it's like on a 9 p.m. and sometimes I fall asleep early, but Barb watches it without me, and I have to go watch it on my own later on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little behind on that. And then me and Barb are starting to watch Fallen Skies, and that is a good kind of replacement for my Walking Dead because it's similar.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I guess it's post-apocalyptic, right? Because after the aliens.
Yeah.
They destroyed everything.
We're on the second season, and we're making our way through probably one or two a week.
Okay. That's probably a good way to watch that, is in a bunch at once. Because it kind of dragged on, I thought.
Yeah. Did you watch a whole season, or are you caught up?
I think we're caught up. Yeah, we watched the whole thing. I think. I'm pretty sure we watched the whole thing so far. It's okay. I don't know. I'm not crazy about that series.
Well, it's hit or miss for me. Like, the one thing that we're watching a lot of now is there's a new channel called Pilot or Pivot, and they show Friday Night Lights all the time. Start watching that shit again. Like, I get hooked on that. I love that show.
That was a great show. Yeah, I haven't gone back and watched that at all, but I can see getting sucked back into it again.
It's easy to, because there's threads that you're like, wow, that happened in season one. I thought it was season, you know, there's things that I forgot. Like I forgot that Julie and, you know, the quarterback were going to have sex really early in their their career, and coach found out, his wife found out he was buying condoms and stuff. I was like, damn.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then they didn't end up having sex, but then they come home at like 2 a.m. Coach would just give Matt the ugliest stare. He's like, I'm going to kill you, motherfucker. And I forgot that Buddy had cheated on his wife with Tara's mom.
Okay.
There's just a lot of stuff I forgot, but I like watching it again. That's
yeah. I think I'd want to watch the. Are you watching it like straight through, or are you just picking up random episodes?
Just random.
I don't know if I can do that. I think I might have to watch.
But it. But I had watched it on DVD. I had watched it on.
You watched it a couple
this
times.
This is like my second. Yeah, it's my second time through or third time through.
Yeah.
So it's like I can just watch what I want. So yeah, that's cool. And then Toy Hunter, I'm caught up, and I like that show. I like how he went to the
back on.
I like how he went to the Philippines. He went to the Philippines, and he fucked up. He's like, I'm going to take. No, he was Puerto Rico. He went to the Puerto Rico Comic Con. That's like where Tom Bilan goes, because okay. Tom Bilan lives in Puerto Rico, and. He went to this con and he was like getting all these rarities, like weird shit. That's cool, you know, cool pop culture stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I am not going to take Star Wars. I'm not going to take. I'll just take bare minimum Star Wars and bare minimum Transformers because everybody will have that, you know, like every
you mean stuff for him to sell there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So he's like, I'm just going to take all this obscure stuff." And I won't take like Star Wars and Transformers and G.I. Joe
kind of stuff.
And it's like it backfired on him like wicked.
The opposite, yeah.
Yeah, because everybody wanted Star Wars. Like he couldn't even get people to come to his booth because they were all looking for Star Wars. But he thought on his feet and he's like he went and bought like he procured large amounts of Star Wars for cheap. And it at least got people to go to his booth and buy some other stuff.
Okay.
But man, he was hurting there for a while because when he has to pay for like shipping to Puerto Rico, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not cheap.
Right.
I think he might have lost money on that endeavor.
I'm surprised he was selling stuff and that he didn't just go there to try and get stuff.
Yeah. But I like that show because there's a lot of toys that I have or have had at one point in my life, and they're worth a lot. Like I used to have a lot of the Buck Rogers stuff. I don't know what happened to that, but those are worth a lot, man.
I had a Buck Rogers stuff. I don't know if I had any.
I had the action figures. I had Buck. I had Tiger Man, and I had the robot.
Yeah, I think I might have had Biggie. Yeah, I think I might have had him, just because it was a cool robot.
Yeah,
well, I used to watch that show too. So
he actually went on this where he is trying to buy those toys to try to find them so he could sell them to actually Twiggy, the actor who played him.
All right.
Yeah. And I hate when my DVR cuts off shows like it's just the way the show's showing.
Because the show goes. I know. Well, like some of the stations, I think intentionally to screw DVR people, they like. They go like 5 minutes long.
Yeah, they go 5 minutes long or end 5 minutes early and it fucks up shit. And
yeah.
The next recording and I'm like, damn it.
Because yeah. They don't want you skipping through the commercials, bastards.
Yeah. I noticed that, do you still watch, what was that, Kevin Smith Comic Book Man? Do you watch that still?
I will. We don't have that channel, so.
Oh, they had last year, or maybe it was last year or this last past season, they were talking about doing a comic book, and it's actually solicited.
The one that's coming out, yeah. Yeah, I pre-ordered that one.
Cryptozoic, yeah. So I'm interested to see that because I don't like that one guy that owns the store. Like, that's not somebody I'd want to hang out with or anything. But I do like his art because
the artist, yeah.
he drew for the Batman series for
Andrew Kevin Smith's
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, Kevin right? Smith stuff. And I really liked his art. I really did. And I'm hoping that his art is really good in this new series.
The cover looks good. And that's written by the one dude, right? The
Yeah, the hippie guy or the guy with the beard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like Boomer IDW, right?
That's so, Dynamite.
Dynamite, that's it. I knew it was one of those.
I like Dynamite. They get shit on a lot, but man, their pulp stuff is just...
Yeah, you're all over their pulp
fucking
stuff.
Fucking awesome. I've taken a break because I had to get caught up in some IDW and other stuff, but it's good. So you watching any reality TV or any shows with Melanie or that are worth talking about?
I'm trying to pull up my history here. What's my history? Oh, I'm still watching that. What is that show called? I'm terrible with the names and stuff. That one about the viruses in Canada.
Well, I don't know what that is.
It's a Canadian show that they're showing on
Amazon Prime.
That's on Hulu. Hulu. And I just started watching. There's some. Where? Hang on, let me find my. I can see my cue.
You can tell we're getting old. Like a couple years ago, we'd know all this shit. Like. We just remember.
Back of my hand.
We know.
Yeah, kids, stay away from getting old.
Yeah, you don't remember shit. I don't remember anything. It's like I used to be able to tell you the issue that something happened in, and now I'm like, who's that guy again?
I don't know. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I used to remember going to shows and going through cheap bins and remembering, like, knowing which issues I had and which I didn't have.
Yeah.
Now I. Of course, now I have like 10 times the amount of comics. So
I think that's why I buy like stuff that I know I don't have because I can't remember the stuff that I need to feel. Yeah. Like I can't remember I'm missing issue 5 of Daredevil. You know what I mean? But I know I don't have any Tomb of Dracula, so let me go buy all these.
I can buy all of those.
Yeah,
I can
buy all of it.
Regenesis, that's what it's called. And then I started to watch, they have a French show on Hulu, I think they just got it, called Braku. It's B-R-A-Q-U-O. It's French. Braku.
Q-U-E-O. Braku. What is that about?
It's Q-U-O. It's like a cop show. But it's like a very gritty. They call it like the French Wire. So oh. It's like a gritty reality or more real take on cops.
On a crime drama, yeah.
Right, like a crime. So it's not like a CSI. It's like a more on the streets.
Yeah.
Corrupt people and stuff like that. It was good so far. The first scene is this guy.
Subtitled or is it?
Yeah, it's subtitled. Yeah, you guys wouldn't. Keith will like it, but. You and Daryl will hate it.
I don't hate subtitles. I just can't watch them every fucking week. I don't want to. I like to do two things sometimes at the same time. And with the subtitle, you have to be totally into it because you have to read it.
Yeah. It is a drawback. So the first scene in it is this cop is interrogating this witness about this girl who's raped and murdered, and they say he... And he's trying to get him to give up the guy who he was with because they don't know who there's two guys and they don't know who the other guy is. And he's like, you know, we got your DNA from we've already run your DNA and we know it's you and we know you're there. And the guy won't give up. So then the cop gets mad and he grabs a pen or he pulls a pen out of his pocket and he jams it in the guy. Affairs or whatever. It's good though. Nice and violent.
Ah.
Gritty. Grit. So I think I'm going to watch that one.
I lost you for 2 seconds though.
Uh oh.
I thought we were going to get disconnected again. I wonder what's up with my internet. I wonder if it's my internet.
I don't know. It's one of
his. Does Melanie watch that?
No, I just watched like the. I haven't even watched the first episode. Now she won't watch that.
Are there any shows that you could watch together or not really?
Yeah, we watch. What are we watching now? We're watching that MasterChef. We watch Rookie Blue. We watch.
What's Rookie Blue?
Rookie Blue is a Canadian cop show. That I think it's on ABC. They got the American rights to it. It's good. It's just following.
Is that on primetime?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it is. I don't know what night it's on. It's they usually play it in the summers. They use it like as a summer replacement or whatever. But this is season 4. I think they've shown it at least the last few years. So it's good though. We enjoy that one. And then what else? There's a show on Hulu. It's called The Awesomes. It's like a new animated show. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know what the background of it is. Let me see if I can find. But it starts out, so the concept is, it's like a comedy animated show. The concept is there's this, the first episode, the head superhero guy, so like the Captain America, Superman kind of guy, well, I guess he's more like a Superman kind of guy, who leads the superhero team in this world, quits. He says he's retiring, so he's quitting. And he wants to pick a predecessor, but everyone says, all the other superheroes are like, well, if you're quitting, we're quitting. So all the superheroes quit. So then his son says he wants to take over the team, and he has to find, you can have the team, but you have to get members. Cause right now there's no members of the team. So you have to go out and get members. So he has like 24 hours or whatever to find, to build up his team. Oh, and he doesn't have any superpowers. He's waiting for his superpowers to kick in, but he doesn't have any yet. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He has a superpower, but he can freeze time. That's his superpower.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't really do much. So, or at least all he ever does is he freezes time, and then he talks to himself and tries to figure out what to do. So he uses it like when he's in a situation, doesn't know what to do, he freezes time, and then... And then something else happens like after he freezes time. I can't remember what it was. I only watched the one episode. Anyway, so he goes to the reject pile, like of people who are rejected from the team, and tries to recruit them to be on the team.
A legion of substitute heroes.
Yep. So they all have comedic powers and stuff.
Yeah.
They got it.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, it's new. There's only a couple episodes of it so far.
Was it ever aired?
No, it hasn't been on TV. It's like exclusive to Hulu, but I'm not sure. I think it was created by someone who's on Saturday Night Live or something like that. So I don't know if they ever had any shorts on that. It's a Hulu original series. Let me see if I can find. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what the history of it is. I can't remember all the guys' powers on it. I know one of the guys' powers, one of the guys is like a speedster, but he has like ADHD or whatever. And he's just like speeding around and like can't think straight and stuff. It's like zipping around. It's like on speed.
That sounds pretty cool.
And then they have one guy who, I think it's a, he's this little Asian kid, and he turns into a sumo wrestler. That's his power.
Sounds like Brown Arrow could be on this team.
Here you go. From the minds of Seth Meyers and Mike Shoemaker. Showcasing the voice talents of current and past Saturday Night Live stars. So it's kind of a Saturday Night Live spinoff almost.
Is it on free Hulu or is it on the Hulu Plus?
It looks like it's
I think it's on Hulu.
Okay. Might have to check that out. Except I don't want to pay for Hulu Plus. I've already got Netflix, so.
Yeah. I think that's it for TV. I did watch a couple of movies.
I watched one movie, maybe two. We went to the movies last week, but god dang, I can't remember what it was. Oh, Elysium. Elysium.
Okay, Elysium. What did you think of that?
I liked it. It was a very short movie. It was only like an hour and a half. And it,
oh, really? Yeah.
It's a pretty simplistic sci-fi movie, kind of like in the vein of Border Control, I guess. If you have a sci-fi aspect to it. They don't want people crossing space borders to hit this Elysium. And people want to really get to Elysium because things are so bad on Earth. They're terrible conditions. And you can get medical attention, but you don't have these healing things. So, like, if you have a daughter or something that's terminally ill, you want to do whatever you can to try to get to Elysium to try to cure your daughter, because if she's got cancer, the scanner will fix it. But you have to be encoded to the machine, which means you have to be a citizen. So there's this
So is Elysium just like, are they really rich or something? Like, why do they have
the... it's all the really rich people that have
gone there
and left Earth. And that's like their sanctuary, but they don't let poor people or anybody else could become a citizen. Well, there's this organization that will try to make you, they'll at least encode you. They figured out how to encode you so you can get on Elysium and be a citizen. If you can get there, if they don't shoot you out of the sky. But Jodie Foster is like the security person on Elysium, and she'll usually do things that are unethical. Like, even the people on Elysium get pissed off, but her idea is that I need to keep them out of our system or we're going to lose control of the system. So she'll blow your shuttle out of the sky. She doesn't care who's on it. And she does it through illegal manners. Like, she has these agents on Earth that she can talk to who are, they're rapists and killers, and they don't give a shit. And she actually hires them to kill people that are going to try to get to Elysium. So...
So it doesn't come back to them.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good show. I liked it. It's not the best I've ever seen, but it's a good sci-fi story. I liked Oblivion a lot better, or whatever the Tom Cruise one was.
Yeah, I still need to. I have that. It's at the library waiting for me. I have to pick it up.
Yeah, and then I watched Kick-Ass 3 or 2.
2.
And I really liked it. I mean, I thought
it was good.
Awesome. Yeah. I want to almost go see it again.
Wow.
I might go see it again tomorrow because I have tomorrow off. But I either want to go see that or Two Guns or Red 2. More comic book movies. But they introduced some other characters in Kick-Ass 2. I haven't read the comic yet, but... it's really a bunch of people that want to do good. Like, there's this married couple. It's like a husband and wife that love each other, and they lost their son. And they have their part of their costume is like, "Have you seen our son?" Mm-hmm. Like, but and they're like vigilantes now. Like, she's got like a purse of bricks. It's just like goofy. It's crazy. And then the Jim Carrey character, like, he wasn't promoting the movie. I don't understand that. That's stupid. You know what you're acting in, but then the movie comes out, you're not going to promote it because you think it's violent. But you saw Kick-Ass. You had to know what Kick-Ass 1 was. And you get the script.
Yeah, you read the script.
You have to know it's violent, so, like, why would you change your mind on it? You know what I mean? But he played a cool character. Like, he was like a vigilante that formed this like Justice Alliance team. And he has this dog Eisenhower, and he's trained him like to go after villains' dicks. It's crazy. But at the same time, it's got that. Did you see the first Kick-Ass?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one guy from Superbad,
Right.
He's the villain, and
again.
Yeah, and he changes his name to Motherfucker. And he's well, in the first Kick-Ass, he was a hero. He was trying to act like a hero, but he was a villain.
It was like, was he the Red Mist? Was
that yeah, the Red Mist, and now he's Motherfucker. And he forms this team of evil.
Wasn't that, that's McLovin, right?
Yeah, McLovin. He's crazy in this, in this movie. But it's a cool movie, man. Hit Girl is fucking awesome. She's just...
Yeah, but she's awesome in the first one. So.
Yeah.
Are they going to make her a movie, a spinoff movie?
I don't know. They got the comic now called Hit Girl. Yeah. Maybe.
Although I guess part of the fun is the whole having a bunch of different people. Yeah, I want to see that one.
What did you watch?
I watched a couple crappy movies. I saw The Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
Oh, I wanted to see that.
It wasn't that... It was okay, but very, very predictable.
Well, it looks funny, though. Is it not funny?
There was some funny stuff in it, but...
I like those two actors.
It wasn't great, so... They could have done more with it, I think, than they did. They stuck too much to formula. But, yeah, so that's the magician movie with Steve... What's his name?
Steve Carroll and Jim Carrey, right?
Yep, Jim Carrey again. This is Jim Carrey week, apparently.
Yep.
And I also watched, I don't even know why I watched this, because when I got it from the library and I said, what is this? I've never even heard of this movie before. But I must have read something about it and put it on my IQ at the library. It's called Movie 43. Familiar with this movie?
No. I'm not familiar with most of the movies you pick.
Oh, that's true. This is I think it's produced by the Farrelly brothers. And it's a bunch... It's basically a bunch of skits. I think there's about... I don't know how many there were. About five skits or five short films within this one film. It's all told within a larger story, but a larger story that was just put there to frame the smaller stories. Because the larger story is that there's a guy who wrote this script and he's pitching it to these movie producers, and then he's telling the different scenes from the movie, and then the different scenes are played out by actually very well known actors like Hugh Jackman and Sean William Scott and I don't remember who else. A lot of Elizabeth Banks was in one. There's a lot of different well-known actors who are in this. Like, tons of well-known actors are in this. And then the skits themselves are, you know, typical Farrelly Brothers, I guess, gross-out comedy skits that were okay. I wasn't completely blown away by any of them, but...
Is it like a movie of just a bunch of different shorts?
Yeah, it's a movie. Yeah, a movie a bunch. Actually, I was less than blown away. Some of them were pretty. It was pretty bad, actually.
I like the Farrelly brothers, though.
Yeah, and they only did a couple. I think they. I need to look this up on IMDb. I think they produced it, and they might have written a couple of the shorts. Let me look. Here we go. 43. And a couple of them, I remember there was one that had the McLovin guy. Why am I not finding it? Oh, here we go. Movie 43. 2013. Look how up to date I am. Yeah, it only got a 4 out of 10 on IMDb.
I was hoping that it was on, like, Instant View. but it's not.
I wonder, does this have the...
I have to send away for it.
Yeah, it's probably not worth the... There was, like... So, I was trying to remember what all of the skits were. The only ones I can remember is there's one about... There was one with Hugh Jackman, where Hugh Jackman had had balls hanging from his chin. Again, like... from his neck, like testicles growing out of his neck.
See, how, why wouldn't you like that? That's funny.
And well, they're very like lifelike, so it's pretty. And this girl goes on a is a blind date, and this girl's on a date with him, and he has these balls hanging from his neck.
That's funny. I think it's funny now.
You like it already, huh?
Yeah, I like it already.
Wow. And then there's one where this young girl gets her period for the first time at a friend's house.
Ah.
So that's humorous. that was actually pretty fun. Actually, one of the more funny ones, because the girl is the hit girl.
Oh, actually, shit! Really?
Yeah, and McLovin's in that one too. So actually, both of them from.
Now I want to add this damn thing in there.
Where were the other ones?
2013, it came out, huh? I never even heard of this shit.
Yeah, I don't know why I even added it to my list. Where were the other ones? Oh, there's one with Holly Berry that was a weird one. What was this one? I don't know. It's a bunch of gross out humor taken to the extreme.
Huh.
Which some of it was funny and some was stupid, but you know, that's how these movies are gonna go. What was that one? Yeah, I don't remember all of the.
What else did you watch?
I don't know if I watched anything else.
He's got balls on his throat.
Balls on his neck.
That's funny.
I would say Micah would hate this movie.
Yeah, probably. He's the most mature one, and I'm the least mature one of the three of us.
So I'm right in between. Some of it I like. Overall, it's pretty. It was. I mean, it's stupid. It's a stupid movie.
Yeah. He's Papa Bear, you're Mama Bear, and I'm Baby Bear.
Yeah, I think that's about all I saw.
That sounds interesting. I added it to my queue, but I didn't move it to position one.
Yeah, I'd wait for it to stream.
I really wanted it to stream. God dang it.
Yeah, put it in your queue, and then...
I'd watch that tomorrow.
Yeah, put in your queue and just wait for it to stream. I want to go out of my way to see it.
He's got balls on his throat, though. It's got Hit Girl. And
it's got a lot of really well-known... Every skit is well-known people, like big-name people. It's amazing all the people that got to be in it.
It sounds cool. Maybe you're making it better than it really is. I think that's it that I've watched. So, do you got any food you want to mention? Yesterday I ate a burger between two grilled cheese sandwiches with bacon on it, but I only ate half.
Hello?
Wow.
Hey, it's back.
Yeah, I stopped Skype and came back.
Yeah, so did I.
I don't know which one did it then. We're awesome troubleshooters.
Restart.
I it would ring fine this time. Like before, it wasn't even ringing, but this time it rang, and then you didn't answer.
Oh, really? I was answering, and it was connecting.
But then you were just all garbled. Just
robotic.
Robot.
Well, I was just going to say, have you eaten anything so we could wrap this one up? Or do you always eat the same stuff?
Yeah, I eat the same stuff.
I had a grilled cheese with a burger in between it.
Patty melt?
No, it was a... Imagine two grilled cheese sandwiches. You've had grilled cheese, right?
Yes, I have had grilled cheese sandwiches.
All right, so it's two grilled cheese sandwiches with a burger in the middle with bacon.
So four pieces of bread?
Yes, four pieces of bread with cheese in the middle.
Is that what that picture was?
Yeah. And then it was green chili cheese fries. And then we had... It was bread pudding, but it was made from donuts and covered in hot fudge sundae and cinnamon ice cream.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't finish my burger, though. I think I'm going to eat it now because Barb's really sick. So I'll probably be on my own eating today.
Poor Barb.
Yeah, she got like a bug. She either ate something bad, which is either the burger she ate,
or don't eat that. Don't eat her leftovers.
No, she didn't have any. So she had like one with cream cheese and jalapenos, and she just had regular fries. And then we ate the same dessert, or she ate fruit, and the fruit got her sick. Because that's the only thing that I didn't eat. I obviously didn't eat the healthy thing, and I'm fine.
Smart. Stay safe.
Well, I had her burger. I ate pieces of her burger because I wanted to try it. And I'm okay. And I just didn't eat the peaches she bought yesterday from the farmer's market. So I don't know. Hopefully she'll be back on her feet.
I figure she washed those, though. So.
Yeah, but can't you have, like, there was that cantaloupe thing that had E. coli in it or whatever? And
yeah, but usually that's, like, cut up and stuff, I think. Like, if you have something and then you wash it, then you should be able to wash away.
It can't get inside it?
I don't think so. I think it's a surface thing.
Yeah, that's what you vegetarians say.
I think you gotta get the poop on the outside of it, and then that's what gets you sick.
Okay.
Like you get your poop on your hands, and then cut up the vegetables. The fruit. Ask her if there's any poop on her peaches.
No, I don't think there's any. she washes everything. Are you a specialist?
Tell her she should not touch like the railings or the handles on doors.
Well, she's already paranoid. You've seen that shit. I make fun of her all the time. That's what makes her not immune to this.
She has no resistances.
Yeah, I like lick the railings and I'm okay.
Lick the door handles before I go.
No, I'll probably get it if it's something, but maybe my stomach is just from all the crap I eat, it just can handle more.
Probably all the chili's probably killed.
But she doesn't eat a lot of beef, too, so it could be that she ate beef and it just got her sick.
Yeah.
Because she eats more like every time we go out, she'll like have fish or chicken. She very rarely, like, I don't think this is going to like take the beef away from her for like, she won't eat a burger for like months now.
put her off burgers for a while.
Which means I won't get any red meat, but that's okay.
Well, good thing you went out with a bang.
Yeah, good thing I had the
bacon burger on grilled cheese sandwiches. So what'd they call that thing anyway?
I don't even know. They have weird burgers there. They have a burger between two donuts, and they have like a buffalo burger, like, and it's really got wings in it. I don't know. It's just bizarre. It's called Cravers.
How was the bread pudding?
It was delicious, man. Oh, it was delicious.
I'm trying to imagine what a bread pudding with donuts would be.
Yeah.
Is it just donuts or is it?
It's made from donuts, but it tastes like bread pudding. It's
They must put regular bread in there.
If you like really concentrate on the flavor, you can taste the donut. I did. It was good. I'm getting really hungry now talking about it. I have to get some food in my belly. Yeah, poor Barb. She woke up early this morning to make breakfast, and I was like, if you're not feeling good, let's not make breakfast.
That's right. Don't go through the trouble.
No, yeah. So I haven't eaten breakfast, but I did. I had cereal. I ate some Cinnamon Jacks, which are like Apple Jacks, but they're more cinnamon.
Generic?
Yeah. No, they're Kellogg's. They have a new cereal called Cinnamon Jacks.
Less apple-y?
Yes.
Just we know you don't really want the apple. You just want the sugar and cinnamon.
Yes, I don't eat that crappy cereal you eat. All that grain and...
Whole grains. Fiber blow.
No, I don't like any fiber blow. So you want to end this one? You there?
I'm trying to think if I have had anything else.
You have a pause that made me think we lost connection again. I was like, damn, Skype.
Skype. Just a thinking pause. Okay, I guess that's it.
All right. Wrap. This has been Geek Crunched. What episode?
188, I think you said.
Oh, yeah, 188. And you can reach us at the Facebook at Geek Brunch space podcast and click the like button. And we're on the Twitters. Do underscore what is Micah. Bill is at DBM00. And I'm Mike Myers Brunch. And we have emails at Mike, Bill, or Micah at comicbooknoise.com. And we're on Forum for Geeks. If you scroll down to Geek Brunch, and we have our show topic threads there. And I think that's it. And I will talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right. And hopefully Michael will be back with us.
Yeah, I'll have to see how he's doing. I'll have to text him back, see how he's doing. So, Read lots of comics.
Yeah, I don't have my previews list with me, so I don't know. I don't remember what my previews.
I have to pick up the month. Put my order in, but there's a Dark Horse book. I don't have my previews in front of me either. My pick is a Dark Horse book called Grindhouse Something or Another, and it's a comic book based on with the Grindhouse feel to it, like Grindhouse movies. And I'm really looking forward to checking that out. That's my pick of the month.
Oh, I don't have my whole list in here. Man, I'm very behind the times this month.
I haven't even put my order in.
Catch up.
There's a lot of good stuff in that previews, man. There's
a lot of stuff this month.
It's worrying me. It might be my highest ever, but there's no statues this month, so we'll see.
Hey, did you read Planetoid?
Yeah.
Is that good? That was good, right?
I liked the first three. I didn't read 4 and 5. I still have them in my box. I still have to send you your comic. And what were you missing again? Were you missing the Christ or Jesus?
I found my Jesus was in my missing pile.
Oh,
I found Jesus.
You found him. You found Jesus. Miniature Jesus.
Found miniature Jesus.
Okay, so I don't need to send you that anymore. Do you need Dio de los Muertos number 3, or is it number 2? I have an extra one.
Yeah, I only got the first one. So.
Would you want to read it?
Yeah, I would, because
one you don't need to read in sequential order because they're just short stories, so.
Yeah, I'd read that one. I'll read that one.
Yeah. All right. I'll send that one to you.
You're too kind.
All right. Well, have a good one.
You do.
Talk to you later. Bye.